Lord's house this morning. Amen. Beautiful day out there from what I've seen, and just couldn't wait to get here this morning. And it is the Communion Sunday. We're excited about that and thankful for that. You know, it's a very solemn and serious time, but it's also a very special time as well. Just remember what the Lord did for us. Recall that. That should cause us change or cause us pause in our lives just to slow down and remember what the Lord done for us. Not just today, but every day. Not to take anything for granted. Granted, time does go by so quickly. But I do trust in the Lord this morning. I pray that you do the same. And just follow him and just be obedient. That's one thing. I don't follow any kind of program or anything, you know. And I know a lot of times, and talking with my preacher friends, they have these pretty elaborate outlines sometimes. And they have the matching letters and everything. And sometimes that works for me, and sometimes that doesn't work for me. And we're kind of chatting back and forth this morning and talking about that. And Brother Greg just kind of mentioned, he said, you know, it's not all about the outlines and everything. It's about the burden that the Lord has laid on your heart. And just following him, trusting him. And that's what we need to do. We're not trying to be anything we're not. We're just trusting the Lord and following him and just going through his word. Just trusting what his word says and let that speak to us this morning. Let's turn to Romans chapter number 12, please. I'd like to welcome any visitors that are with us this morning, and I'll say please feel free to partake in the Lord's Supper with us this morning. Romans chapter number 12, just be looking at verses 3 through 8. I guess kind of following along a little bit of where we left off on Wednesday night. Still thinking about the topic of the church, the topic of unity. What that looks like, what that's like. I know in Corinthians, we'll turn over there shortly for the Lord's Supper when we get there, but that a part of the problem that they had in the church at Corinth was division. That's one thing that was mentioned there, and the Bible speaks so much about unity. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? And that's a very true statement. And you think about how important that is, that we have fellowship and we move forward and just kind of what that looks like. And I was looking at an illustration or thinking about something myself this morning about a chain and what a chain looks like. The Bible says here, one body with many members. So what we'll see this morning. But also I was thinking about a chain and what that looks like. A chain is a bunch of links, just individual links that are actually placed together. And so they're links, not link, but they're links, they're plural. But when you put all those links together, what does it become? A chain. Not chains, but a chain, which is singular. Thought that was very interesting. A very interesting thing, and I'll try to use that illustration as we go through this morning here. But verse number 3, Romans chapter number 12, says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, according to the faith that has been given, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us. Everything, Lord, that you've laid before us and how you've provided everything for us, God, we just thank you so much for that here today. God, I pray that you be with each heart that's here, each mind. I pray that you help us to focus on you solely this morning, not anything else, God, nothing that would take away from our service, your service here. God, I pray that we take this service seriously, what it represents, the Lord's Supper, how important it is that we examine ourselves, we look at ourselves on the inward man, not look around at each other, but ourselves, and take today serious as we should in what it means and what it represents. God, I pray that you take this message, let it be what you would have it to be, for your glory, for your honor. God, I pray that you keep me in context. I pray and ask that you keep the devil from the service. Bind anything, God, that would hinder the service. Lord, I pray that you keep our hedge around us, keep us protected, keep us safe. Lord, we're trusting in you. We're following you, God, and we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the liberty to be here this morning, and just thank you for everyone that's here, God. And Lord, anyone here today that's lost, God, I pray that you touch their heart. God, I ask that you show them their need of salvation, Lord, and who you are to them. I pray that you convict them. Lord, go with us. We're putting all of our confidence and trust in you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I looked at a few different places before settling with this. For this morning, but it's talking about righteousness practiced or the application of service. I think a lot of people want to do something for the Lord, but maybe not understand what it is they're supposed to do for him or how each link in the chain comes together. And I think this is a very good set of scripture that actually shows that. It's not being desirous of someone else's gift or someone else's part in the chain, but it's just saying whatever your part is, you focus on your part and you do that to the very best of your ability. You do that for the glory of God. It's not for self-recognition or anything like that. He's saying, I will give you a gift. Everybody here has a gift. Everybody here has a work to do. And the Lord is here showing us, or Paul is showing us here, exactly what we're supposed to do in that. Focus on that. Make the most out of that gift. Who here does not want this church to be the very best that it can be? Everybody want that? I do. I know I want to see that. I want to see that for the glory of God, not for pride. And you see, it doesn't take long when we read these scriptures here. That's the first thing that he mentions. That's the first thing he talks about. He's saying, be about your business, but don't think more highly of yourself than you're supposed to. We look at this here in verse 3. It says, for I say, through the grace of God given unto me. He acknowledges where his gift came from, or it comes from. He acknowledged where he has the authority or where he has the power or the ability, he is automatically giving that credit to God. He's not taking that upon himself. I've seen some wonderful speakers. I've seen some wonderful teachers. And it would be easy sometimes if a person is not careful to be prideful in self. Look what I did. But see, that's not where it comes from. I tell you, some of the best testimonies, the best things that I've ever seen is when somebody unrehearsed, unplanned, stands up and does something for the glory of God. Just because the Spirit said, tell them about me. You don't have to worry about a script or anything like that. You just tell them what I've done for you. If you are saved this morning and you're wondering how to witness to somebody, the easiest thing I can tell you to do is tell them what the Lord did for you. That's what being a witness is. What did you see? What did you experience? What did the Lord do for you? But Paul here is talking about being humble. And that means a freedom from pride. Pride is the one thing that will keep us from being who we should be for God. Because then we start being who we should be for self if we're not careful. That is the very key. That is what led Satan to fall from heaven. He saw the recognition that God was receiving on his throne. And he said, I want that. I want people to look at me that way. I want that recognition. You see, that's not what it's all about. You think about this chain. You know, a chain is a very strong thing, is it not, Brother Bill? It should be. If you had something stuck, if you had a vehicle stuck, this is where my mind went with this. If you had a vehicle stuck in the mud and it was not easily to be pulled out, I wouldn't go and start trying to get a shoestring. I wouldn't go and try to find, I know twine string is all right. There's a lot of fibers and a lot of things in it, but twine string, it's not that strong. It's for a smaller job. And the bigger the job gets, the harder the job gets. I would want to make sure I had something that's probably forged in steel, something solid. Something I know that I could hook to my vehicle, to another vehicle, and it's actually going to pull it out and it's not going to break. You see, that's what we see in these verses here. A very interesting thing is you see how all of these different gifts come to be. When you look at a chain, can you tell me which link was placed first? When you see a link to a chain by itself, it's a link, you recognize that. But when you put them all together, don't you just see, hey, it's just, they all look the same. They all maybe have different strengths, maybe they all have different purposes, but in reality, they look the same. There's no big I's and there's no little U's. We all have a special place, a prominent place in our work for the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. You know, you see that word, my mind a lot of times goes to don't drink, which we understand that. But soberly, what does that mean? That means gravely or seriously. If you could seriously consider where you could have been today versus where God's grace has allowed you to be, that should give you a little bit of humility. And just thinking about, my goodness, I could have been maybe in a life of crime or in jail or maybe in the hospital or a different place, but the Lord has allowed me to be here. Thank the Lord for that. Don't take that for granted. There's a lot of people that would love to be here today but cannot. But it's by His grace. That's what He's saying here. Soberly, gravely, seriously, today as we examine ourselves thinking about the Lord's Supper, we should be thinking of ourselves soberly, very gravely this morning. And it says here also, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What does that mean? You know, I believe that, and I look at that to mean that everyone, every man that's been created has been given enough faith to trust Him or not. I look at that as kind of a starting place. See if I can explain this the right way. You think about measure, that means an adjusted portion. That means given out or a portion, a measure of faith. An amount of faith has been given. Every one of us here has a measure of faith. Would you say that we have the same amount of faith? If God started us out with a certain amount, throughout your life, throughout your walk with God, has your faith increased at all? Has it been the same? Or has God done things in your life that you see and you understand that, you know, I can put more faith in Him. I can put more trust in Him. I know that I can that He is going to take care of me and I can trust Him more. Should it not be growing as we go? I think we all start with a measure of faith by what the Bible is saying here. We start. I believe the ground is level at the cross. I believe that the Lord starts us out. And we have a mind, we have an opportunity to do something with that. I believe in our life most often when our faith increases, it's because of things that we cannot control or things that were unforeseen that we faced. I have to extend more faith, Brother Nathan, because I don't know what else to do. I look at that and I say also on the other side, what would it be if we just automatically or already before a catastrophe or something happens, we just trust Him anyway? That we start exercising our faith before something bad happens. I would say that one of the best ways to do that is just praising Him. Just saying, Lord, I know You're worthy. I'm going to trust You before something happens. I look at it kind of like exercise, really, exercising of faith. For something to grow, it has to be broken down and rebuilt. Broken down and rebuilt. That's how something gets bigger. That's how we grow. That's how our confidence grows. I remember in law enforcement, starting out there, what they would do is they would tear you down first thing, and then they'd build you back up. That's kind of how that worked. They'd take you down to a low level, your lowest level or a low level, and then build you back up the way they wanted you to be. See, our Christian life is similar to that. I don't say necessarily that the Lord wants to break us down, but if we don't humble ourselves, He will. Because our pride, we will be doing things out of our pride versus doing things out of His will, out of His faith and confidence in Him. But as we look at this measure of faith this morning, think about what you're doing with your faith or your walk with the Lord. Are you growing? Are you building? Are you staying the same or are you decreasing? You know, the Bible, but I've also heard if you don't use something, you lose something. You can decrease, and I would not want to decrease. I would want to increase for the Lord. You know, as life goes on, I've seen in my life and the life of others, as life moves forward, it seems like the battles get a little bit harder. Don't we need more then? Amen. Wouldn't that be true, Brother Nathan? Amen. Need more. Need more strength. And that's what he's saying here. Give more. I've given every man a measure, the measure of faith. But what are we doing with that? How are we moving forward with it? Verse number 4, it says, for as we have many members in one body, all the members have not the same office. We're not all the same. None of us are the same. We all have different personalities. We all have different ways of thinking, different ways of doing things, but that doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that it's different. The Bible acknowledges that, and it shows us here this morning. So, for as we have many members in one body, there's many members here today, and all members have not the same office. We have different things that we need to be focusing on. How does an individual's faith affect the church? When I was a young church member, I didn't think about myself as much as I thought about everybody else in the church. And what I mean by that, I'm not saying that selflessly, I'm saying that selfishly. I didn't think that I mattered. If I was there or not, I didn't think that it mattered. If I wanted to go do something else, that was fine, because everybody else will take care of what's going on at the church. But if you're a member, you matter. If you're here this morning, you matter. How much input that you give matters to the church. It's important to realize there's not one person here that does not matter. Everybody matters. Everybody contributes in a different way is what Paul is saying here. You can't look at it and say, well, this person's contribution is bigger than mine, and so mine doesn't matter. That is not at all what the Bible says. He said everybody's contribution matters. Everybody here is important. What they bring to the table, if you will, is important. Verse number 5 says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So it keeps bringing everything together. I would say, and looking at my illustration, thinking about that chain, I would say that Jesus would be the first link in the chain. He's the first fruits. Then every link attaches to that. You think about the office of the church. You know, the Lord's arm is not shortened that he cannot reach. But he did choose the church to conduct his business. So if you see the church as a chain, the chain that makes up the church, does that not need to be strong? Is it getting easier in this day and time? Is it getting easier to, more accepted to hear God's word? Or less? Less. I'm going to go ahead and say this. How many of you seen churches, such and such Baptist church is now just such and such church? Has anybody else noted that? I have. Why? Why would you take that part out? Are you ashamed to be a Baptist? Does the Bible not teach in the baptism? That's one of the two ordinances. It shows the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Why would we take that out of our name? Well, people find it offensive. Well, they might not come to church if they see that. Do we change doctrine to suit people or no? We can't take that away. We are what we are. We are who we are, but it's only by the grace of God. And the reason I say that, I'm not trying to get all tied up in denomination or what have you, but you see how in this day and time it's getting harder and harder just to do what we've supposed to been doing all along. So instead of keeping that chain strong, a lot of times like, well, let's just diminish it a little bit. Let's just use a twine string here instead of that chain. For the function of the church to go through as the Lord would have it to go through, every member here needs to be strong in their part. And then you link together. That's the strength of the church. You say, well, it's all the Lord. Yes, but if everybody quits, if everybody stops doing what they're supposed to be doing, then how does that affect the church? You cannot blame God for that. You can't blame Jesus for that. When I would not go to church, well, I'd say, I'm too tired tonight, I'm not going to go. Or if it was this excuse, I don't matter, I'm not important, they won't miss me. You're missed if you're not here. When I look back, I see how I was missed from not being there. Thank God for people that would pray for you and think about you when you weren't there. They had foresight because they knew the importance of it. See, as we get older and you look back on things, you realize where you could have been, but it was just the grace of God that he allowed you to be where you are. It is that simple. If we fall away, if we don't get linked up to the right chain, the chain of the church, the chain of Christ, then it greatly hinders where we could be. It greatly increases our chances of disaster. But he again here, verse number 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. He's saying we are attached. I envisioned us, and I won't do this morning, but I envisioned us, each one of us hooking arms and then holding hands like this and everybody attached together. That's a strong bond. That's a beautiful thing. That's representative of the church. Nobody ever says, hey, go get me the box of links. I need to pull this car out. They say, go get me the chain. That's one, not plural, not just not separated, but all together in one. That is where our strength comes from. You talk about the church family that we sang about this morning that seems like the songs lined up so beautifully. I love that. I love having a strong church family. We need it. I've heard it said many times that a lot of times people are closer to their church family than some of their immediate family. The bond of Christ is a tight bond. We need not to take that for granted. Need not to lose sight of that. Again, thinking about the chain that makes up the church. You are a link in that chain. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every member's one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Again, there's that word grace. God gives us a gift by grace. There's probably things that you think about throughout the day, or probably your mind goes somewhere throughout the day, if you're at work or school, at home, that I need to do this for somebody. That's the Lord laying something on your heart. There might be something that you're really good at. Brandy, I was thinking about this, like even with her, I can use this as an illustration. She's good at putting things together, and what I mean by that, like birthday parties. Family gatherings, Thanksgivings, hospitality kind of thing. She's so good about making sure all these little details are put together. Now, if that was left up to me, I would have everybody over at the house, but then there'd be nothing to eat. You see, that's not my gift. I would be good maybe at gathering people, then it's like, now you do something with them. You see, that's different strengths. And people are good at different things. When you think about putting together, I know this is coming up very soon, Bible school, that is a big undertaking. But you've got some people that are ready and willing to teach. You've got some that are ready to get people here, some that know about putting the food together, people that have hospitality about them, and you put all that together, and that makes a wonderful event. And it takes everybody to do that. What a beautiful thing that it is when a church is working together as it should be, the way the Lord ordained it to be. I love that. I remember going through some of the Bible schools that we had here even, and going through it. At the end of the week, we were exhausted, but you know what? We felt like we had done something. And we felt like we were a part of something good. And we reflected on that. And you think about the children that come through and how the gospel was spread out. That's probably a groundwork right there, but my goodness, that is so awesome to be able to have a hand in that. And that's just the beginning. There's so many different things we can do as a church. So many different ministries. The school system. What you see at Appalachian. Law enforcement. There's just so much that we can take part in. So much that we can do. And I tell you, it takes everybody being strong and putting everything together. Having gifts, having them gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophecy. What does that mean? Well, if he's talking here, prophecy or preaching, if that's what you do, Brother Bill, you do it to the very best that you can. That's what you do. You give to it. You pray over it. You study over it. You commit it to God. That's a big one there. You know, a person can try to go out on their own and do things on their own thinking they're doing something right, but if it's not committed to God, it's not going to go where you want it to go. I can promise you that. But if the Lord lays a burden on your heart, a work on your heart, gives you the gift of that, and you commit it to Him, He will see it through all the way to that day. That's what the Bible says. He promised that. That's how that works. Would you not like to live your life that way? Not knowing what God's going to do next? It's that important to our lives. So prophecy, according to the proportion of faith of what's given to you, give it everything you have. Or ministry, that means service. I know you've heard it said, and I'll say it again, but the Lord's work is work. If you do it right, you'll be tired by the time you get through that portion of it. You'll be tired. If you give everything into anything, you should be tired after that. I can't say you gave everything. There's times that I've stood to preach or done things and I've left feeling defeated because I didn't feel like I could have done, maybe I could have done a little bit more. Maybe I could have done it just a little bit better. What he's saying here, that measure of faith, give everything that you have. Ministry, it's a lot of service. It says, let us wait. That means to attend to or follow or perform. Not wait, not do it. That means to perform it. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. I can't say enough about teaching. I think sometimes it can be overlooked, the importance of teaching. Brandy and I have talked about this so much that I see how it changed our lives. Of course, preaching is right up there. I love good preaching, but I absolutely also love good teaching. I appreciate every teacher here. I appreciate people who take the time week in and week out to study God's Word, to bring something out. It excites me to see somebody excited about bringing something to the church and say, look what I learned this week. I want to share this with you. This is something God showed me. What I find a lot about preparing to teach or preach is when the Lord nails something down in my heart, you can't take that away. Now, if you go through, and I'm not saying anything there's wrong with it, be careful who you read behind, of course, but when you go through and you look at commentaries, that's something that God gave them, and you're reading after them. But when you study and God gives you something, that's special to you. And that's an exciting thing to bring to the church and say, I want the church to see this. This is something the Lord showed me. This is real. And that's what he's saying here. To those that teacheth, teach. I love to see Brother Finley when he memorizes verses and he can quote whole chapters. Brother Finley, that blows my mind. As Brother Tim was reading this morning, I just looked over and I could see Brother Finley. He was mouthing every word. He knew that. I wish I could do that. I do. I do. Maybe I can. Maybe I need to commit more to it. But to see somebody take the time to memorize God's Word so they can share it with others, that's a valuable tool. That doesn't just happen. It takes time. It's being committed. It's extending that faith. I appreciate seeing that. One that teacheth, let him focus on teaching, or he that exhorteth. That's words that intend to encourage. That's what exhort means. Encouraging somebody. Is there anybody here that can't do that? When I read that word, I looked at it and said, exhorteth. Words intended to encourage. Who should not be able to do that? You say, well, preacher, you know, I've been through a lot of bad things, and I just don't. That should be top of the list, the person that could do it. Because the Lord brought them through those things, Brother Nathan. They've brought them through. He's brought them through and showed them things and helped them, exhort them. You know, that's an important thing right there, exhorting. Taking part in a service. You know, I think a lot of times people enjoy seeing the preacher preach really good. Who doesn't? Well, the preacher enjoys seeing people enjoy it really good. Yeah. I tell you, nothing excites me more then when the Lord is in it, on both sides. When you're up here, and I'll say it this way, there's been times I've been preaching, I thought, man, this is good, but man, it is quiet. Maybe it's not as good as I thought it was. I said, Lord, there's times when I've been praying, I've been studying, crying my eyes out and just feeling the Holy Spirit. Lord, please bring it out like that on Sunday. And get to a service sometimes and it gets a little quiet. Lord, I must have missed it. Is it me? But exhortation, that means encouraging. Who shouldn't be able to do that? And it all goes down here. It says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. That's not making things harder than what they should be. There's times that, you know, I've wanted to help a person, but maybe I didn't have the means. I remember when I lost my job, it was hard. And people here, people other places, they really helped us out. And Brandy and I, we said, if we ever get a chance to do that for somebody else, we want to do that. What a blessing it is. Just to be able to help somebody. There's people in need all around us. They need things. If we have a means to be able to do that, we need to do it. And keep it simple. That doesn't mean crunching every penny and trying to do all this. If you have the means to do it, the Bible just says do it. What a blessing that is. When you see all these chains, all these links in this chain come together, do you not start seeing a beautiful picture? It's almost like there's something for everybody, and if you need anything, it's supplied. Is that not how God designed the church to be? Is that not how we are supposed to help the community? How we're supposed to help each other, look after each other, look after the community, look after missions? You see, that's the function of the church. If we do that right, the Bible says, compel them to come in. If we do that right, people should be compelled to come in. I want to see that. I want to take part in that. When I needed help, they helped me. Now I'm on my feet and I want to help somebody else. That's a beautiful thing about the church. What the church is supposed to be and what it can be. He that giveth, let him give with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. One that oversees things. Steady application, one that's being consistent in looking over things, taking care of details. I love detail-oriented people. It's hard sometimes to keep up with all the details, but when people are there that do that, it makes life a lot easier. When you have the what-ifs, Sister so-and-so's already thought about that, Brother so-and-so's already thought about that, we've already discussed that, we've already got that together. Taking care of the details, putting everything where it's supposed to be. And I really like this last one here, and I'll close, and we'll have a time of prayer. But it says this here, I like this. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy is treating an offender, not just somebody, but an offender better than they deserve. That's what mercy is. You know, I think, and I look at the application of this, I think sometimes it would be easy for a church, any church, to be deemed as self-righteous, judgmental, that kind of thing. But if it has members in its body, links in its chain, that is showing people mercy, showing people a chance, that speaks volumes. The reason I say that, I've been present on campus before at App. When I was in law enforcement there, they'd always want an officer on standby when they had these preachers, and I will do that. Some were good. Many of them were not. We had to stand by while they were on campus because they would basically kind of pick fights with the students. That's kind of what it actually came to be. And I remember going and standing by and watching. I even talked to one. I said, "What?" You know, I could tell he was quoting, and he was using the King James Bible. So I had my checklist of, why is this not working right? What is wrong here? Had the right Bible, but he was given the wrong message. And what I mean by that, the only thing that he and some of the others that I saw would do would just tell everybody, you're going to hell. That's it. You're sinners and you're going to hell. That's it. He only told half the story. He never talked about God's mercy, about his grace, about how to be saved. I kept waiting for it. I kept waiting, Brother Tony. I kept waiting here. It's like, let's get to the good part now. They'd never do it. And all they would do is go round and around and around. You know, I learned later, we looked at some things. I think part of it was probably part of an experiment, a social experiment. Me and Brandy did some research on it and think maybe that's what that was more so doing. But if you can show mercy and extend mercy, should we not do that? That's what God did for us. That's what Jesus did for us. We're sinful, imperfect people. There should be no reason, just like he starts out there in verse number 3, not to think more highly of ourselves than we should, just humble people, thanking God for what he did for us, and we just want to share that with somebody else. That's the simplicity of the church. People should want to go to that. People should flock to that. I'm searching for something, I need something, and you have a little bit of mercy shown. Here, we got something for you. The Lord has something for you. We can help you. I tell you, church, just think about that again and look at it that way. Thinking about what a chain is. Envision our church as a chain. And everybody here is a link in that chain. So that doesn't mean that we have the same office. That doesn't mean we have the same gifts or anything like that. But the neat thing about a chain is when you look at it, each link looks the same. But you expect no more or no less out of any one of those links. Do you not? You want them all just to hold tight. Hold steady to what you got because we're trying to pull something out here. Don't give up. Don't let loose. Don't break the bond. Hold tight. That's the importance of it. That's the importance of having a good chain, the importance of having a good, the chain that makes up the church. This morning, I do want us to have a time of prayer. I do want to have a time for invitation if you need to pray, because I can't overemphasize to you the importance of self-examination before taking the Lord's Supper. Again, it's a very solemn time. It's a very serious time. But if you need to pray this morning, if you will stand with me, we're going to have a time of prayer, and then we'll take a few minutes before we have the Lord's Supper, before we start back. I'll ask Sister Alice if she